There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. We'll give you an update on Shohei Ohtani and his future with the Angels. That'll be a little bit later on. What's it take to be a backup quarterback in the NFL? We're going to find out. Chase Daniel has made a career out of it. Chase will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. No updates on Bronny James as of 9 o'clock Eastern this morning. And if you look at what happened 20 hours after he collapsed at USC, went to the hospital unconscious, was in ICU, no information came out. And I know people have looked at this two different ways. No information, what's that mean? Well, we got to respect him being, he's 18 years of age. I mean, he's still, a citizen. I mean, he shouldn't be treated any differently than anybody else with information that comes out. Now, will information come out? I guess you'll have sources or somebody will say something to somebody, but, you know, he still has his rights, and I'm glad that there's no information. I don't view that as a negative, other than he's out of ICU, but he's in stable condition. It's still a little surreal. On that campus, and you go to the hospital in an ambulance, a 911 call, and nobody found out about it. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm very respectful to those people. They did their job and were taking care of Bronny James, because in the moment, unconscious, in ICU, and now in stable condition. But no updates on him, but I know people want to already move this forward. Can he play basketball? That'd be the least of my worries. If he's my son, I just want to make sure, are you okay? Are you going to be able to be healthy? And then what kind of tests do you have? You know, athletes now, whether it's the school, because they're liable, that you want to make sure that you are as healthy as possible, that you find out everything you need to know. I go back to Pete Maravich, one of my idols. He died at 40 on the basketball court. Nobody knew that he had a heart condition. Now, with the medical field, now you have your own doctors. You have a lot of this that's available to you, that there are preventative measures that you can take. That's probably what surprised me more than anything. At 18, you're LeBron's son, and you're getting ready to go to college. Those thorough physicals that you have to take, stress test, all of those things. How did that sort of fall through? I understand DeMar Hamlin, because that's a freak accident that happened. But even then, when I'm watching DeMar Hamlin with the Bills game against the Bengals, it's still surreal, because you're watching, you're going, wait a minute, he didn't get hit that hard. Wait, is he trying to draw a penalty? My first thought was, when I saw it, was, is he trying to kind of enhance the, hey, did you see what he did? He led with his helmet. And then you realize all you have to do is watch the body language of his teammates and the Bengals. And then you realized how serious it was. But this happened at USC at the Galen Center, and then a 911 call, and then you're going to the hospital with the sirens going. The lights are going. and he's going to the hospital. So no updates, and hopefully that's a good thing for everybody in this situation. Jaylen Brown got paid 5 years, $304 million. Justin Herbert got paid 5 years, $262 million. Highest paid NBA contract in history, the highest paid NFL contract in history, all on the same day. And the first thing I thought when I saw that Justin Herbert's getting 5 years for $260 million, I said, Joe Burrow, come on down. What do you want, Joe? He knows that that's the minimum right now. That's the starting point because he's more accomplished. He's been to a Super Bowl. But they're the Bengals. It's always tricky with the Bengals. always. It's not one of those where you go, okay, you got to pay him that. I mean, you do have to pay him that. And the good news for the Bengals is, in my opinion, you are going to spend that money and you know he's worth it. Like if I'm a Cowboys fan and you paid Dak Prescott, I don't know if he's worth that. Or the Vikings with Kirk Cousins, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray. That's when you're in quarterback purgatory. The Giants with Danny Dimes where you go, God, do we have to pay him? You know, the Chargers are like, we got to pay him. Yeah, I agree. I want to pay Joe Burrow. And I also thought at the time when Patrick Mahomes signed that deal and I came in that next day and I said, Chiefs got a bargain. They got a bargain. It's like when Bryce Harper signed with Philadelphia, said, Philly got a bargain. In the moment, you're going, oh, my God, they're paying him $500 million or $500 million. And I go, yeah, and he'll be a bargain. It didn't take long for him to become a bargain. And I'm sure that Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow will be a bargain in a couple of years. Now, if I'm an Eagles fan and I had to pay that money to Jalen Hurts, I'd like to have waited one more year. Just like I said to the Cardinals, wait another year with Kyler Murray. Oh, he's going to sit out? Let him sit out. Because now you're dealing with 5 years with that kind of money. And that changes your franchise here. But having a quarterback you know is worth it, boy, that's a relief. It's when you're going, I got to pay this. Like the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, good player. He's been all NBA, not even first team, once. He's the highest paid player in the game. I don't want to have two guys who do the same thing. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, it doesn't make sense to me. And I know I've been told by people, you got to pay him. You got to keep him. No, you don't. You don't have to. I wouldn't have. I would have tried to work something out there. But now I still have two guys who, all right, can get me 27 a night. And, you can shoot the three. Neither can handle the ball. Like, it's weird to have a contract where you go, going to pay him this. You know, but he's got to work on some things. You would think when you get to that point where, like Jokic, I mean, Jokic signed for, $30 million less than Jaylen Brown. I don't know if he needs to work on anything. Jaylen Brown, he's got to work on his handle. No kidding. So you got a guy who was not good in the playoffs, and everybody's getting you at least 20 points a night. That's not a big deal anymore. If you don't get 20, you're not a scorer. So Jaylen Brown will give you points and rebounds and assists, and that's all wonderful. I just don't want a team that feels like they're built for the regular season. I want a team that knows when we get to the playoffs, now you're going to have your hands full. And, they traded away Marcus Smart. You got Kristaps Porzingis. So I got another real tall perimeter guy. Okay. We lead the league in perimeter guys. I just don't know if they're the team to beat or they're that much more formidable. Wonderful talent, but I don't want the same player, and that's what I have with Tatum and Brown. Yes, Marv.
And Jaylen Brown had an opportunity to step up in Game 7 when Tatum got hurt, and he disappeared completely.
Oof. But here are the Celtics banging on the doors for a title the last couple of years, and they remain aggressive. You got Porzingis. Brown has been valuable, shot over 49% from the floor, averaged 26 per game. So you got Tatum and Porzingis. It just feels clunky. Like maybe that's the right word. But, you know, Brown in the postseason averaging 18 points in 105 playoff games. I know he's only 26. That's what they keep telling me about Jason Tatum. When I say he's got to learn how to handle the ball in traffic. He's the Hall of Very Good. Absolutely. But you get to the postseason, your flaws come out. They're exacerbated. I would have looked at changing the complexion of my team. If I've got Porzingis, do I need Jaylen Brown? And at that price, too. Yes, Mark.
Would you have tried Jaylen Brown for Dame Lillard?
Yes. Like, if your goal is to win a title, then look at it, you know, these next... Porzingis is there for two more years, so you're looking at a two-year window here. It goes back to everybody talking about Shohei Ohtani. And you're going, well, what are the Angels going to do? Team's going to trade for him. Now, let's factor in a couple of things here. And it's wishful reporting. I'm guilty of it. Where you go, man, it'd be great if he got traded, or at least the possibility got traded. Well, are the Angels, who are on the periphery of a wild card spot, going to trade Ohtani to a team, and then they're going to get prospects. Therefore, they're not going to be competitive to try to make the playoffs this year. And you have Mike Trout, so they're not rebuilding. You got a GM who I think is in the last year of his contract, maybe has one more year left. Is he going to be like, yeah, let's blow this? You can't blow it up with Mike Trout. If you're a team that would be interested in Shohei Ohtani, are you going to go, here's our farm system, and you don't even know if he's going to resign? Or, hey, why don't we just wait until he's a free agent? Then we don't have to give up anybody. So if you factor in logic, which we don't like to do in the media, then you go, is Shohei Ohtani going to be traded? And if you're going to pull off a trade, is he going to re-sign with Baltimore or Arizona, Seattle, San Francisco, the Dodgers? I don't know. It feels like his agent wants to go to free agency. Why would I give up everything for a guy who still wants to go to free agency? Where it's wishful. Go back to Odell Beckham Jr. III. It was wishful reporting. Oh, my God, the Cowboys. The Cowboys. He's going to go to the Cowboys. If he goes to the Cowboys, and I know I keep banging the drum on this, I was the lone person in the media who said, can he even play? And that's when Odell Beckham responded to the show by calling me an outsider. Yeah, I'm a buzzkill because I wanted to know if he could play. And it turned out he couldn't play. But we wanted him to play. And we wanted him to play for the Cowboys. Do we want Ohtani to be traded? We want him in a Dodger uniform. We want him with the Yankees. Okay. Just apply logic to this. And if you apply logic to this, I don't see him moving. I just don't. 877-3DP show. I'm not ready to retire. I'm fired up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came in today. Todd goes, are you still retiring? I go, stop.
I'd like to check in with you.
I know. Can we wait like a couple of years?
I guess.
Yeah.
I'll still check in with you weekly at least.
Yeah. And then I got some blowback that I screwed it up because I should have said that I signed a contract extension and that'll be my last contract. I said I'm retiring in 4.5 years. And then I said I had a contract.
That's more original.
Yeah. Felt like I got more headlines that way.
You got 2 days out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I milked it a little bit there.
That's all right. You know what? You've earned the right to milk it if you want, Dan. If you want, as someone said, if you want to do a 4.5 year retirement tour, you go right ahead. You've earned it.
Thank you, Seed. Yeah. I appreciate that. All right. Poll question today. What do we have?
What do we have, Dan? That is a great question.
By the way. This hour is brought to you by Keeper's Heart. It's the new and unique style of whiskey that combines the best of Irish and American whiskeys, creating the smooth character of Irish whiskey and the bold flavors of American whiskeys. If you're a whiskey fan, why do I always feel like I morph into an Irish accent?
You're a whiskey fan.
Yeah, if you're a whiskey fan, drink responsibly. Yeah, it's Keeper's Heart. They're sponsoring our trip to Dublin. Seaton's got a good.
That's great.
You got a good Irish accent.
I don't know that I do.
Well, but, you know what? It's a funny Irish accent.
You know what it is? It's an impression of a play-by-play guy, a soccer play-by-play guy that I think is like hilarious. And for some reason, I'm blanking on his name right now.
Is he Irish?
But he could be Scottish.
Okay.
But anyway, he has this voice and he has this way of speaking in this way with words where he just says the most hilarious things. Like, he'll be...
He sort of draws everything like this. He's smoother than the back of a spoon.
You're like, this is great.
That sounds like something Stuart Scott would have said on SportsCenter.
He's got a very like UK Stuart Scottish
He's
kind of thing.
Smoother than the other side of a spoon. Booyah. Yeah, your accent, though, is... How's it going to be when we go to Dublin?
Nonstop.
Oh, no, then that's not going to be good.
My voice will probably be gone by Wednesday night, just so you know. Yeah.
877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. Thank you, our streaming partner and our radio affiliates around the country. Those chatting on Chat Row. Operator Tyler is standing by to take your phone calls. Paulie, you look poised, ready to say something.
Well, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes' contract and what a deal it was.
Yeah.
He's going to make $40 million this year. He will not be, I don't think, even a top five paid quarterback this upcoming season. The next few years, Patrick Mahomes will make $40 million, $38 million, $42 million, $42 million. And then the big one, 60. It jumps up to $60
million, yeah.
Which I'm sure they're going to restructure before they get there. If you're Mahomes, do you stand pat or do you say, over the next 5 years, I'm making $30 million less than Justin Herbert? Or do you just sit back and let them come to you and say, hey, let's write this wrong?
Well, he did say recently, maybe yesterday, it's not about the money. You know, it's about winning titles, being a dynasty. He's gotten paid, and he's won. But the only thing I would say to him is, or I would ask if I were Patrick Mahomes, how can we structure this that we don't lose people? Or that we can add people. Because that's where your dynasty will go away. If you can keep everybody intact, then you have a chance for something really special here. But if you get selfish, and maybe that's not even fair to say selfish, but if you go full boat, then that could hamper what your team is able to do. And that would be the one question I would want to know. What are we doing with the money? Can I have any say in what we do with the money? Who we keep? You know, whatever you know, his relationship is, but it seems like it's a pretty cordial relationship there. Yeah, Paul.
His cap hit, Mahomes, is $39 million this year, which is very team friendly. When he signed it, that looked like a big number, but the cap has gone up twice since he signed it.
Yeah, team friendly, man. I don't know if Herbert's going to be or Joe Burrow's going to be, and we say that in the moment. And why was it easier for these other quarterbacks to get paid, but Lamar Jackson? Man, he had to work really, really hard there. Yeah, Marv.
And he's the one with the MVP.
You're right. Bloop, bloop. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DKHorse.com.
By the way, here's a stat. Since May 26th, the Cincinnati Reds are 3-9 against the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 32-9 against everybody else in Major League Baseball.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. John Morosi, MLB Network insider. He'll be across MLB Network's programming, including extensive trade deadline coverage next Tuesday. That's August 1st. And you got the Mariners Twins coming up this afternoon. First pitch scheduled for 1:10 Eastern. John, kind enough to join us. What's the latest on Shohei Ohtani, John?
Dan, good morning. For Shohei Ohtani and the Angels right now, they're actually playing pretty good baseball. They've won 7 out of 9, and now they have their playoff odds moving up towards 16%. So what I'm being told by sources, Dan, they're going to wait until this series wraps up in Detroit and then their weekend series in Toronto. So we're still probably waiting until Sunday to know if they're truly buying or selling.
Wait, so it's that tenuous?
It's that tenuous. Potentially the most significant trade in North American pro sports since Gretzky is riding on the next 5 games for the Los Angeles Angels.
And one of those series will be in Canada, in Toronto, right up the block from Wayne Gretzky's restaurant, if it's still there.
Exactly. Not too far from Brampton, Ontario, where number 99 is from. But no, it's a great point, Dan, and it's one of the more amazing stories in sports, not just what happens with Shohei in the coming days, but also where he ends up playing as of opening day next year. And it really is a global story that, at least from my perspective, we can't talk about enough.
I thought it was wishful reporting. Like, we like chaos. We like change. We like when stars move around. I grew up in an era, I'm sure you did too, where your stars usually stayed with the same team. I get the, you know, capitalism, free market, all of that. Let's look at this logically. If you were going to trade for Shohei Ohtani, first of all, the Angels are going to get prospects, I'm guessing. So then you got Mike Trout and you're going to be in a rebuild, which to me doesn't make sense. If I'm going to trade for him, he's got to sign with me. But then if I'm going to trade for him, they're willing to trade him. Why not wait until the end of the season when he's a free agent? I don't give up my farm system. I know I have to pay $600 million. I just don't understand the logic. Help me understand the logic of this with a team that would trade for Ohtani. We'll start there, sure, and then we'll go to the Angels.
Sure, Dan. It's a great question. And I think at the outset, I'll make clear that there's a pretty big gap between the Angels being willing to move him and a trade actually happening.
Okay.
Because to your point, for the Angels to move a player of this caliber, especially when they're playing better, you're going to have to buy them out of the chance to contend with Shohei for the balance of this season. And very importantly, Dan, to potentially see him hit home run number 60 in your uniform. Let's reflect on that photo for a moment and how many places that photograph will hang for a long time, home run number 60 or beyond, for Shohei Ohtani and the value to your brand in doing that. So I think the reason why you bring him in now is because he does have a manifestly massive impact on your brand, on your team. He may well be the MVP. So it's certainly the type of rental player and impact. You go back and think about the 08 Dodgers and how Manny Ramirez changed that team. It's that kind of an impact at the middle part of the season. But Dan, to your point, for you to make this trade, you have to be quite sure that you're already going to the playoffs and you'll have him potentially make you a World Series team, and also that you would have two or three of the top 100 prospects in the sport to make it worth the Angels' while. That is a really narrow road to turn and navigate, and one of the reasons why I still think the odds are likely that Ohtani stays in Anaheim through the rest of this season.
Yeah, I like the possibility of chaos here, but I understand the logic of just the business side of this. I can't trade for him if I don't know if he's going to re-sign. And if he wants to go to market, which it sounds like his agent wants him to go, you know, saying he's earned the right to be a free agent, I'll just wait. If I'm the Dodgers, I don't have to give up my farm system. Or if Tampa Bay wants to get in, Baltimore, I think you've talked about, maybe the Diamondbacks. Is it going to be an American League team? If Ohtani would be traded, would it be an American League team he would go to?
You know, Dan, it's a great question. I don't think it's necessarily the case. I think that broadly speaking, we could see an NL team get him. And you mentioned a few teams that are really intriguing, like the Rays, like the Orioles, like the D-backs. Those three teams in particular are better than expected this year, and he could make a massive impact on them for a couple months. And if he helps them win a World Series, if he gets himself to 60 home runs in that uniform, we have to take a bit of a step back and say Shohei is a global icon in the way of, let's borrow from a different sport right now. Think about what Lionel Messi is doing right now for soccer in South Florida and in our country, broadly speaking. The kit that he's wearing in Miami is instantly, with a couple weeks' worth of games, becoming one of the fastest-selling bits of sports memorabilia in the world. Now, Shohei and Messi are different in some ways, but the global sports comparison, I think, is appropriate here, to where if you're the Rays, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles, the chances of him signing with you next year are quite remote, because I do think the Dodgers have a pretty good home field advantage there. So this is your shot to have your Messi moment is right now. And there certainly is a reasonable price to be paid to have that chance.
Baseball got rid of the second trade deadline, right? Remember when a player, if he cleared waivers, then you could still trade for them after the first. Why did they get rid of that second trade deadline?
And Dan, it's really interesting. And of course, Justin Verlander helped the Astros win the World Series 6 years ago with a August 31st trade. There used to be the waiver trade deadline that effectively existed at the end of August. Baseball wanted to eliminate the uncertainty and often the confusion that came when we would report on trade waivers in August. There was a lot of opaqueness about what that meant for a particular player. So as a result, it's more of a unified idea. It's July 31st, or in this case, August 1st. But Dan, there are a lot of people in the industry who would like to see this trade deadline be a little bit later, because what you have now is the one unified trade deadline. And now, because of the expanded playoffs, more teams that are on the bubble and not really sure about their direction. The Angels and Ohtani, that's one case, but the Cubs are in the same conversation. Yeah. A number of other teams are as well. And I think it's certainly a big topic for a lot of GMs around the sport to maybe have a little bit of a later trade deadline in the future.
Talking to John Morosi, baseball insider for MLB Network. The Aaron Judge injury, first it was seemed like, oh, he just stubbed his toe. And then all of a sudden, he did more than stub his toe, and then we're still waiting for him to come back, and maybe he comes back as early as this weekend. But how did we get to this point with Aaron Judge's injury that it took him this long to realize that he had a fracture there?
Right, Dan. It's a really difficult situation for Aaron and for the Yankees overall. And to your point, it's been almost 2 months since he's played a game for the Yankees. And in that time, the American League East race has changed significantly. The Yankees have fallen back. They've fallen all the way to the bottom of the division. And now what we're not so sure about is to what extent he is going to be impacted by this for the balance of the season, how it'll be handled in the offseason. What we know is that time is very short, and maybe there was initially some swelling in that area that made it difficult to fully discern what was going on. But clearly, for someone who prides himself on being in the lineup as often as Aaron is, he's such a professional player, Dan, on and off the field. And I know this is just aching him to miss this amount of time and to see the impact on his full team without him. I think it's had a huge impact on Anthony Rizzo, had a huge impact on DJ LeMahieu. They're simply not the same team without him. And if anything, Dan, it's really underscored why he was the right choice as the MVP last year and why he was worth all the money they spent on him during the offseason as well.
Also, I think this is right. Mark McGwire may have gone through this, but if Ohtani would get traded to the National League, then that he wouldn't win the MVP. They wouldn't combine his stat. Like, there's no way he could be the MVP because he would then be traded to the National League, so his stats would only be attributed to the second half of the season or in August on in the NL. Is that correct?
Right, Dan. So those two awards are voted on separately by the baseball writers in each individual league. But one thing we've known, Dan, and I'll say this, Ohtani would be eligible for the award in each league. It would be up to each individual voter, and I've been one in the past, to decide if he had done enough in either 4 months or alternatively 2 months.
Well, let me ask you that, though, John. Let's say he's traded next Tuesday. Who would be your MVP in the American League at the end of the season?
Let's put it this way. I would still consider him because let's think about this. It's 4 months of elite performance in two disciplines, Dan. So I would have to say this. Right now, the MVP in the American League is Ohtani and will be Ohtani until someone proves otherwise. And could Adley Rutschman, if he catapults the Orioles to a division championship as the catcher and the anchor of the lineup.
Yeah.
There's a compelling case there. If Bo Bichette gets the Jays to the playoffs playing a great shortstop, although he's scuffled a bit offensively in recent days, there is not an obvious second choice. It's not like last year where it was Judge or Ohtani and you were happy either way, or even the year before when it was Vladdy or Ohtani. That was an obvious one too. There is not a clear heir apparent, Dan, and if there's one thing we know for sure with Ohtani, all the rules that we used to think were sacrosanct no longer apply.
Thank you, John. That's the first time I think sacrosanct has been used on the show, Paulie.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
All right. Thank you, John. That's John Morosi. We appreciate it, John. Baseball
Thanks,
Network
Dan.
Insider. They got baseball coming up today. Mariners Twins first pitch scheduled for 1:10 Eastern. I mean, he made it sound pretty tenuous. Like these next two series, Detroit and Toronto. And let's say the Angels only have a couple of wins. I don't see him moved. I don't. I'm looking at the logic of this. It's too complex to do it. Just there are too many moving parts. I think we're interested in it, fascinated by him. But he would still be the MVP. He'd probably still win the MVP in the American League if he was traded. Mark McGwire, this happened when he went to the Cardinals. And I don't know what year that was, but he was probably going to be the American League MVP with the Oakland A's. And then he was traded to the Cardinals, I believe, if that sounds, I don't know, going through my Rolodex, my baseball Rolodex. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I got that happening in 1997.
Okay.
He was on Oakland for 105 games and St. Louis for 51 games.
Yeah. A couple of phone calls. Neil in Washington. Hey, Neil, what's on your mind today?
Hey, morning, DP.
Morning.
I just wanted to point out that I've been listening since the Attic days, and if there ever was proof that Messi has changed the landscape of American sports, it's that you guys just spent an entire segment on soccer.
Yeah, all right, Neil. You know, I evolve. You know, I'm not set in my ways.
Chipping away.
Yeah.
Little by little.
Seton's got 4.5 years to chip away. Good luck with that.
It's going to be a great 4.5 years, Dan. I'm just saying. Copa America next year? World Cup? Buddy, this is it. This is the best time.
Yeah. If Ronaldo comes over here.
Hey.
Oh.
Let's go.
When he's 40.
Why not?
He'll be coming over here.
Well, when he was 36, he was dominating Serie A, not MLS, so. That's the shot between, like, Messi, like. Messi's already in the retirement league. Ronaldo was still playing meaningful soccer.
Wow.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it, Messi fans.
But you're a Messi fan over Ronaldo.
Me?
Ooh.
No, I would probably be a Ronaldo fan over Messi. But I don't know that I've ever really drawn that battle line, but
I'm asking you to do it.
Oh, you're
right
really
now.
Putting me on the spot now. Oh boy. Okay.
It's content. It's just all in good fun.
That's all it is.
Yeah, two guys who love to win an argument, and we're just going back and forth, just, you know, volleying back and forth. That's all it is. Sacrosanct. Do you know what sacrosanct means, Todd?
I just looked it up. I can share it. According to Merriam-Webster and such.
Did you know? It feels like an injury to a guy.
It does sound like something sacrosanct would hurt.
What happened? Oh, my freaking sacrosanct.
4 to 6 weeks you're after that. A principal place or routine regarded as too important or valuable to be interfered with. The sanctity, I guess it's part of that sacrosanct word.
Oh man, my sacrosanct.
Got to be careful with that sacrosanct. It takes a long time to heal.
My plums. Jason in Dayton joins us. Hi, Jason. What's on your mind today?
Dan, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Good, good. First-time caller, height and weight is beefy. I was only 14 at the time, but I remember Jack Armstrong for the 1990 Cincinnati Reds as a one-hit wonder. He started the All-Star game. And he was pretty rough after that and pretty rough the rest of his career.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, Mark the Bird Fidrich was a big deal. Big deal. He might have been on the cover of Time magazine. If you guys can check that. And maybe it's just Sports Illustrated, but for some reason, Mark the Bird Fidrich was a phenomenon. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, he came on the scene for the Detroit Tigers in 76.
Yeah.
19-9. Led the NL AL in ERA 2.34, second to Cy Young, rookie of the year. Like you said, he was on every magazine. He appeared on Sesame Street.
Yeah. Well, his Big Bird was his nickname.
Yeah. He played four more seasons and never won more than six games.
Because he used to kind of manicure the mound. When he would pitch, he'd get down on his hands and knees and use his hands to like fill in the dirt when he was pitching. And he was different. Different look, had big bushy hair, and they called him Big Bird. And he was a big deal. Like, David Tyree might be as big a one-hit wonder as we've ever had. Right? That was one moment in his career. The last catch of his career. Does anybody remember what his previous catch was? Because it feels like he had one catch. Yes, Marv.
He caught a touchdown pass in that same Super Bowl.
Okay. All right, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, all right, thanks, Marvin.
Yeah, right, buzzkill.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it'd have been great if we go, I don't remember.
Yeah. Thanks for knowing things,
yeah.
Marvin.
Yeah, sorry.
That doesn't work around
here. Really sorry.
You stupid or something.
Yeah, you smart or
Are
something?
Are you smart or something? Did you finish second in your class like Todd did?
302nd.
And who is more street smart?
Definitely not me.
No, it's such true.
Yeah, salutatorian, $3 and the D train. That'll get you.
So you were salute. Would you rather be the salutatorian or 200th in your class?
I was very proud to be salutatorian in junior high school and high school. And I was friends with the person that was valedictorian. So it wasn't like they were my arch rivals that got 0.3 points higher on an economics test or something. So it was all good.
You're over it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I had a whole lot of fun in high school and college, Todd.
I missed out on something.
Yeah, I had a whole lot of fun.
You're hanging out with the girls. I'm memorizing.
And look, it's just like I would say to McLovin, you went to an Ivy League school, and you're sitting here with us.
All those extra credit book reports. And
same room.
Atomic radii of boron, all those memorizations.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. Atomic radii of boron? It might as well have been in Greek. What are you even talking about? That's not even real words, Todd. Yeah. Use real words.
I mean, I'm meeting up and making out with chicks, and you're, you know.
I'm balancing equations, basically. Cupric sulfate lab, nice.
Pythagorean theorem always intrigued me. Isosceles triangle, always in. I was fascinated with it, but I never really explored it. Be like, all right, I like that. All right, You tell me what it is, and I'll write it down on my paper. Yes, Marv.
Todd definitely celebrated Pi Day. Like, oh, it's March 14th, everyone.
Pi equals.
All right.
Pi equals.
Everybody come over to my house. Let's go. Why don't you ask Kathy Minerva out and Dwayne Colon? And nah, I want to look at the periodic table some more. I'll put that up on my wall.
Whoa, you got nice periodic tables there, huh?
That was my pickup line.
How about we take a break here? We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes,
and me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I gave Chase Daniel a shout out. I didn't mean to give him a shout-out, but we were talking about Derrick Henry and running backs don't get paid, and I said, well, Derrick Henry's made the same amount as Chase Daniel, longtime backup quarterback, has. And then I guess the clip made its way to Chase, and he said, you know, hey, thanks for the shout-out. I said to Fritzy, see if Chase will join us. I know that he's in between teams, longtime NFL quarterback. Chase Daniel joining us from the quarterback capital of the world, that's Del Mar. Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, Carson Palmer, anybody else who lives in Del Mar, Chase?
I'm sure there's a little bit more here, but you know, Steve Mariucci is down the block from us too. So it's a nice place to be right now. It's 72 and sunny every single day, so I can't beat it.
All right, help me understand this. First of all, you're in between jobs right now. So how does that work, that you wait for a call, or can you work out for a team? What's the process?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm you know, just finished 14 years going on 15. And wow. To be completely honest with you right now, I'm pretty good right now. Just hanging out with the kids, being a dad, not having to go to training camp, sleep in the dorms, have a 15-hour a day schedule. But I think I'm past the part in my career where I got to work out for someone. Played really well last year in the preseason. And I'm just waiting for an opportunity. And if it doesn't come, then we'll see what else happens. But I'm just excited to continue to talk NFL football and college football. And you know, I did some broadcasting stuff last year, so that was fun. But yeah, it's just a wait and see game right now. There's got to be some injuries that happen, I'm sure.
At what point in your career do you embrace being a backup quarterback? That you have to buy into that role, and that can be difficult because, you know, when you came out of Missouri, you probably thought, I want to be a starting quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's something I've wrestled with my entire career. And I told myself from an early age in this league, especially when I was learning behind Drew in New Orleans, was that, hey, listen, I'm going to play as long as I can, as long as they want me, till they get me off the train, because the train just keeps moving. Everyone gets off. But the one thing that I told myself was, if I'm playing and I'm just okay being a backup, then I'm never going to play anymore. So I would say even last year, like, you have that itch. It's just like, that's maybe me. That's maybe how I was raised. That's maybe how I was brought up. But I think in this league, to make it, you know, 14 years, which is a blessing, like, thank God for that. You have to have that mentality of, every single day you walk into the building, every single day you go out into the football field, practice field, preseason games are huge. I mean, I treat the preseason games, even in year 14, like they're playoff games, because that's how you get the film out. That's how you get the film out to all 31 other teams, and you're constantly competing. So I'm still at that phase right now. Like, I love to compete. I've never once really phoned it in like, hey, I'm just okay being a backup, because the second you do that, guess what? The third string or the guy in college, or there's always, someone behind you that wants to take your job. And I've never really done that before. I've never looked behind me. I've always looked in front of me. I've always tried to push the starter for some playing time. And you know, for me, it's sort of like, it's a weird situation. Like, not a lot of injuries, right? In 14 years, like, that's sort of how backups get on the field. Not a lot of injuries have happened. I haven't really gotten a ton of chances. And when I had them in the middle of my career, I thought I played pretty well.
What is your favorite memory?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, you're 14 years in the league. I mean, honestly, if I could go back and do it, I mean, this is the easy one to say, but in 09, I was a rookie. I was a third string quarterback behind Drew and Mark Brunell, which is a blast from the past. So winning a Super Bowl with those guys my rookie year, I mean, it's obviously the tops, but like, I thought it was so easy. Like, I'm like, after we won, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, we started 13-0, if you remember that year, and then lost three straight, and then went on a tear in the playoffs. Garrett Hartley kicked us to the Super Bowl and against Minnesota. But I was just like, I remember that offseason, I was like, this is so easy. And then, put in perspective, 14 years later, it's unbelievable, because I've been on some of the worst playoff losses of all time. You look at even last year, right? It's the highest comeback in the NFL history. We were on the Chargers. We lost that game. It was the most, you look at the Minnesota Miracle. I was on the other sideline for that. I was with the Saints. Okay. I mean, you go on and on. The Andrew Luck Kansas City Chiefs game, when he fumbled, we were up 35-7 at halftime. 28-point comeback. They beat us. That's the fumble, him reaching over for the game, if you guys remember. So it's been a tough road, because you really just look back on those years and you realize, man, there's actually like a good bit of luck involved, and the ball has to bounce your way. You have to get certain calls from refs. So it's been quite a run. I mean, there's some really good stories stored up in this memory of mine.
He's Chase Daniel. He's a free agent quarterback. How many teams have you played for?
Six, I think. I had two stints with the Saints, so we'll say six.
Do you have jerseys of all the teams?
I do, yeah, yeah. We have we just built a house out here a couple years ago, and we have a little bitty space that my wife said I could put some jerseys up. Obviously, like, this is my office. You don't see any jerseys in this office, right? But we have a game room, and I'm telling you, it's like, how are we gonna fit like six jerseys in this small, like, but we made it work. I have a ton of jerseys from other guys throughout the league in my garage. So that's what I was relegated to, my garage, as the man cave.
You were with the Chargers last year. Your reaction to Justin Herbert getting that contract yesterday?
I mean, listen, it's awesome because, and I sent out a tweet yesterday, a video yesterday, of just how proud I was of him, because it's hard to understand, obviously, if you're not in the room, but everyone knows about the physical attributes, what he's done the first 3 years. That's been well talked about. But, you know, what's interesting to me is when I got there in 2021, he had just won, Rookie of the Year after the 2020 season. Everyone knows how that started with Tyrod Taylor's ribs getting punctured. And so he got his opportunity. Man, did he ever roll with it? Probably one of the, if not the best rookie quarterback seasons, numbers-wise, of all time. And so I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, I get to work with the rookie of the year. This is awesome. And the first day I come in, he's just saying, hey, like I followed your career, like, it from Missouri. Like I know you were with Drew. Like, what did he do? I knew you were with Alex Smith. What did he do? What can I learn from other quarterbacks? And I'm just like, that really hit me. That just tells you a little bit about who he is, yeah, and what he does and how he, you know, portrays this game and how he takes the game so seriously. And just like a good old guy, like, yes, sir, no, sir, super coachable. The physical tools, I mean, you see some throws in practice that is just like, I mean, there's just not many people, if anyone in the world, that can make these throws. And so it was an honor and a privilege for those 2 years getting to back him up. We have a really tight relationship and, you know, he's still pretty young. And, you know, he texts me in the office and, hey, you know, what are you thinking about this? And so, you know, it's still a really good relationship there.
But then you have Austin Eckler, who can't get paid.
$6.25 million is the biggest bargain in the National Football League right here. 40 touchdowns over the last 2 years. Not only that, but like what he means to the locker room, and he couldn't get it. I mean, you know, I love the dude. It was so fun. I started cracking up laughing when he said the Derrick Henry stat. We made the same amount of money, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's cool, but like, man, what is wrong with the running back position? And it just goes to show you that NFL franchises, I mean, honestly, they don't value the position like they used to. I mean, you look at the Chiefs last year, they had a couple decent receivers, a seventh round running back, and they won the Super Bowl because they have a really good quarterback. And the run game is, okay, you know, and you can find a good running back out there, like a really good running back, for $3 to $4 million and build yourself everywhere with the left tackle salaries going up. You saw Solomon Thomas today. I mean, everyone, it's insane. And then you got to pay the defensive ends. I mean, the Chargers have three or four guys over $30 million on cap hits this year. So it's just, teams just don't put it in the budget. And I just don't know if there's a way back from it. I mean, yeah. I don't know what you can do to say, hey, listen, unless all 32 starters say, I'm not showing up next year until we figure out a side agreement with the NFLPA. Because I was on the NFLPA side, and we've talked about it at least. Like, how? And it's just like, other than punter and long snapper, it comes in at running back as the least amount of growth and value since like two or three CBAs ago. It's insane.
But
it's unbelievable.
But Chase, what if I suggested this? We allowed running backs to come out after their sophomore year in college, or you could sign your running backs got 3-year contracts when they came into the league. If you're a first round draft pick, it's a 3-year contract. What do you think?
I mean, the shelf life still on running backs is one contract, and you're going to get to a second, but it's very rarely you get to a second, and like impossible you get to a third. So that shortens their career by, instead of 4-year contracts, you have 3 or 5 year contract, you know, with first round running backs. But to me, it just doesn't make, I don't think that helps, because at the end of the day, teams are going to value what they value. You are worth what a team is willing to pay. And that's your value at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, like, or if teams don't pony up, and if major name running backs, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, everyone in the Derrick Henry, if they don't come together, I know they had a Zoom, and that's great and all. That's not going to That's not going to make change. That's not going to make change. It starts with the NFL and the FLPA, and the owners are laughing to the bank with this because they had really good value at a 1 or 2 year deal with not a lot of guarantee.
Well, but look at Melvin Gordon. Because of what he was asking for, Austin Eckler was able to come in and take his job. And
yeah,
I mean, this is it's like you're eating your own.
I mean, that's the biggest problem we've dealt with in the NFLPA in general is with these rise in rookie contracts is, okay, that's great. You're rising in rookie contracts, but these middle level guys, these 4 or 5, 6 year guys that are just as good as these rookies, they're making $1.5 million, $1.2 million or whatever it is, league minimum. These rookies are making, you know, $650,000, $700,000. That's almost another player.
Yeah.
If you cut a guy, this rookie's just not quite as good, but you look at this five-year guy, he's too expensive. I mean, that's how running backs are, and that's what teams are saying. We just need a guy who can carry the ball 100 to 150 times, and by the way, we're going to split the carries up. Because it's a pass-happy league unless you're the Ravens or the Eagles, right? And those guys are doing just fine with it. So it's an interesting conundrum that we're facing, that the running back market is facing in general. But I think for the good of the game, you got to figure out something.
Before I let you go, I think there are 4 other quarterbacks in history who have more pass attempts in the preseason than you. Is that right, Paulie?
Yeah, we did a deep dive of to see Chase Daniel's an all-time preseason guy. He's got 500 career attempts in the preseason.
Okay, okay.
And a quarterback rating of 92.5.
Okay. All right, so
hey,
do you know,
there you go.
So if there's ever a Hall of Fame for preseason, 500
can
more.
Can we get
attempts,
that started?
We can try to do that.
I mean, come on, guys.
Okay, like, who's in front of you? Who are the 4 quarterbacks preseason pass attempts more than you?
Brian Hoyer?
Nope.
What year? That's crazy. More attempts than me. I mean, they got to play a long time.
Yeah.
And they got to be a backup.
They're all retired.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Who are they?
All right. Give them, Paulie.
I got Billy Volek, over 500. Luke McCown, over 500 attempts.
That's right. Luke, I was with him in New Orleans. Of course, he was there for 4 years. They didn't play
were.
Drew. They didn't play Drew.
Who else, Paulie?
Sage Rosenfels has 549 career attempts.
Wow.
Can anyone guess
the highest?
No. Okay, here's what I have. Highest. Going back 25 years, the most preseason attempts of any quarterback.
Give me a hint.
We have him on the show regularly, probably 3
Sean
times.
Sean Salisbury.
Nope.
That would have been awesome, though.
He lives 20 minutes from our studio.
Ryan Leaf.
Chris Sims.
Dan Orlovsky, 591 career attempts.
Dan Orlovsky played. I mean, dude, that's amazing. So I just need 92 more attempts. And then I have the all-time record. Then we can start a Hall of Fame backup quarterback.
Is that feeding the fire to call off retirement?
Well, I never said about retirement, but I mean, if we're starting a preseason Hall of Fame and I have a chance to be the number one pass attempts guy.
I want to hear this conversation, Chase, with your wife. Yeah. I want to know what that's saying. Honey, come here.
She has to take care of the 3 kids, so I don't know if that's going to happen. But I bet I could get 92 in 3 games. Just coach, let me play the whole game. Call it 35 times every game. We got this. You don't need to play anyone else. You don't need to evaluate anyone else.
Orlovsky's getting nervous, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
His legacy.
Dan Orlovsky, huh? That's crazy.
But see, he ran out of the end zone. Like, he has a play that we at least remember, Chase.
Yeah, I didn't do anything dumb like that. I mean, I love the guy. I love the guy, but man, like that. And the amount of grief he still gets for it, like we all make mistakes, but I'm glad I didn't do anything like that.
Good luck with whatever's coming next, whether you're an analyst or you get a job there, but good to talk to you, Hank. Thank you for having a good sense of humor.
All right, guys. Appreciate y'all.
That's Chase Daniel, free agent quarterback, won a Super Bowl his first year with the Saints.
He's fun.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
All right. How about
Orlovsky?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.